Hello, and thanks for joining us in the Measure Pod, a podcast for people like us in the analytics world. I'm Dara, MD at Measure Lab, joined as always by Dan, an analytics consultant also at Measure Lab. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dara, how's it going?
Good, thanks. We're going to go straight into our topic, I think, this week, aren't we? So what is it that we're going to be discussing?
Well, this week actually comes off the back of a talk that I'll be doing in a couple of months at MeasureFest. And that's more around the role of Google Analytics within the future technology stack. So in short, what will GA's role be in the future? So a bit of crystal balling, a bit of blue sky thinking a little bit, and for us to have a little chat around where we see the role of GA being in the future. We know where it is today. We definitely know where it was in the past. Let's have a guess at where it's going in the future.
Ooh, I love guessing.
Educated guesses, let's say.
All right, let's get stuck in. I'm going to start by stating the obvious. I think it's safe to assume that it's going to be all about GA for at least for the foreseeable.
Yeah, I think that's as clear as Google can make it. I think they've been saying that in their messaging for the last 2 years. They very quickly went from a message that was parallel track with GA4 and keep it running alongside, ready for that day where it will become your primary source of truth. But now the messaging is firmly in. You should be moving over. Have you not moved over yet? Here are some resources of how to move over. You should have moved over by now. So it's a very interesting place to be. They're moving pretty fast, and Google is normally at the front of the herd, as it were, in terms of the technological advancements anyway. But we need to keep up. It's a kind of keep up or get off the train. Or at least that's the way it feels. A good example is actually how Firebase is moving pretty quickly away from their legacy analytics solution and towards GA4. So we've mentioned a couple of times on this podcast, and if you have an app, you'll probably be very aware of this already with the amount of emails they ping out. But come February the 15th, if you haven't upgraded to GA4, all of your historical data will be deleted and new data won't be processed. So that's a big deal. This is not something that Google, to my recollection, has done before. And I suppose it makes me think that, are they ever going to do this for Universal Analytics? I wonder if they're ever going to be as severe to say, hey, look, everyone, you should have moved to GA4 now. You have until this date before we delete everything. Good luck.
Well, it'll light a fire under people at least, won't it?
Yeah, it would definitely keep us busy too, right?
And the thing with, I mean, we've kind of talked about this in bits and pieces over previous shows, but GA4 is obviously still being developed, but it's being developed at a pretty rapid pace. There's pros and cons. We won't dig into all of those now, but the kind of first thoughts to my mind are GA4 is a much more up-to-date, it uses a much more up-to-date data model. It's a lot more flexible. It's a lot more suitable to the whole app plus web world that we're in now. But on the flip side, and this isn't GA4's fault as such, but it is based on there's a lot more modeled data in there. And if anything, that's going to only become a bigger and bigger factor as time goes on because of, you know, all the issues around privacy and opt-in and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a huge part of how they sold GA4 to us, the public. It's a built on machine learning and privacy first design. Obviously, a big old asterisk there that, you know, current affairs, the stuff that's going on in Austria, GA to be found illegal, not GA. Obviously, it was GA, but it's not about GA. It's about data transfer to the US. All of that stuff's happening at the moment. But just going back a couple of weeks before that started, it's just talking GA4 is all around privacy first. Again, I'm saying that, you know, through my teeth a little bit with everything that's going on. But the idea there is that they're going to be respecting consent, not collecting personal data if you haven't opted in to do so. So you need to claim that user's consent where they visit your app or website. But what they're going to do is they're going to model out the differences. Again, stuff that GA3, Universal, and its other predecessors, as well as Firebase, never did. So it's all pushing everyone onto here so that, in a way, as the world becomes more private, or at least respecting different sort of locale laws and however that works, they're still going to have a rich, or at least quote-unquote rich data set, not that we could validate that. It's trying to kind of stay relevant in a way, not in a negative way, but it's trying to stay relevant as less and less data is able to be collected. This is the kind of modeling that, you know, analysts might be doing in their database anyway. They might be modeling out differences and estimating total traffic volumes anyway. In a sense, it's just kind of building that stuff in using the kind of resources and the powerhouse of the Google servers at its disposal.
And it is, actually, 2 points probably to make. One I kind of said already, but just to be really clear, this isn't a GA problem. This is an industry. an industry fact, really, that this is GA4's particular approach to it. So this model data is going to exist within, not just within GA4, but within any analytics tools. But the other point that I was going to make is that the model data is black box. You mentioned people doing it themselves. So that might be where there's potentially a fork in the road. Some businesses might want to have an understanding of how that modeling is working. So they might have a team in place where they can actually do that work themselves. But for a lot of businesses, they're going to, if they go down the GA4 route, at least as things stand now, that's going to be black box and they're not going to be able to access that data outside of GA4.
It's making those things wildly accessible. How many people are going to have a team of data engineers and scientists to be able to do this kind of work? Most of the time, the analytics role is kind of bucketed alongside marketing or some other service or product or anything else, really. So actually, this is just taking what other people might already be doing, maybe in a better way. I suppose that's debatable. I'm behind it, but it's debatable. Everyone will have their pros and cons, as you said, but it's just making it adopted by the masses, by the smaller companies that don't have a team of 5 data scientists, for example. So this takes us onto the whole world of first-party data collection. And I think this is where, when we think about Google Analytics' role in the future, at the moment, so taking stock of what maybe what it's used at the moment in a lot of cases, it's kind of used as a data collection hub. I might sync that with BigQuery or feed that out to another data warehouse and then use that as my reporting tool. So my data warehouse would be my reporting tool. The things that are changing, as we've briefly touched on around consent and not tracking users that don't opt in, which is all completely good, you know, positive things to do. What that does mean is that you won't have access to all that raw hit level data for users that just visit your website that haven't opted in or identified themselves in any way. And again, it all sounds pretty obvious, but it's a big old change for companies that might have a decade worth of reporting solutions built off the back of a complete, quote unquote, complete data set within a data warehouse. The way I see this is a way for Google Analytics to just be one of many tools now, rather than the predominant tool collecting all this raw data from your digital assets, your websites, your apps. Actually, it's just going to be one of many tools, probably feeding into a CRM or a customer data platform or something like that, and joining the dots for these users that have been identified and consented to do so. It's not going to be a place to collect all raw data anymore. It's actually going to be, okay, you have your modeled summary daily aggregate data, just like you do from any other marketing channel for that matter, but you will have access to a subset of that that you can join with other subsets of data to create your warehouse, your customer data platform to join with your CRM or whatever you want to do.
So it's becoming more complicated, but again, this is not something that's GA4 specific. This is something people are going to have to accept regardless of what analytics tool they're using. This split, just to be clear, what I'm saying is it's this split between the kind of aggregated data versus this modeled data.
Yeah, exactly. And that split is going to be really important as time goes on. And the proportion of detailed event level data you'll have access to might change over time, depending on 100 things to local laws and policies and technology changes and the type of banner that you're using to gain consent, all these things can have an impact there. But this actually ties in nicely with that whole idea of GAFA. Have you heard of this? So this is Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple. So these are the kind of walled gardens. I had a good chat actually the other week with Tom about this on the pod. And this is about each of these massive conglomerate companies have their own walled garden. And what we're suggesting, or my crystal ball is saying to me, is that Google Analytics 4 is going to be the Google walled garden. So if you want to advertise within the Google ecosystem, if you want to collect data through the ecosystem or kind of use that to join the dots to do the modeling, the attribution, the whatever, the optimization, you're going to have to use GA4. So it's your way in to that walled garden. Whereas where I think Universal Analytics and its predecessors positioned itself is this agnostic tool. Obviously, it's not. It's Google, and it connects to Google products really well within the Google marketing platform. We all know that. But it's not. Well, you can't really make it a super agnostic tool. Its role is going to become less agnostic and more ingrained within the Google walled garden ecosystem. I think that's a really important and interesting point to make, is that it's not agnostic. It's not going to do your bidding and not have some kind of skew or advantage to advertising through the Google workspace. Sorry, advertising through the Google marketing platform and the Google products.
So it's quite a mindset shift in a way. Even though GA has always been a marketing tool, it's becoming even more so as time goes on. Whereas before, like you said, it was even if it was supporting kind of Google ads or media side, it was still a lot more possible to use it as an all-encompassing analytics tool, whereas that's starting to shift now. I guess that's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, it always felt like activating your data through Universal was an afterthought or a bolt-on to the product. You create your segments and then you have an option of turning them into an audience, and then you can sync them with the different products. And it all felt very detached from the day-to-day analytics use cases, right? Of pulling reports, creating segments, analyzing data. In GA4, it just feels different. It feels like everything's connected, primarily around the whole concept of audiences and data sharing within the Google stack. So anytime you create an audience within GA4, which is actually going to be quite often because you don't have segments in the same way where you can just play around with. So when you create an audience, it automatically shares that within the connected ad platforms. So Google Analytics will automatically share all conversions and audiences with Google Ads and down the line, the rest of the GMP products that it does connect to. And again, it's kind of taking it one step forward, where before in Universal, you had to proactively say, oh, I'm going to take this bit and share it over here, which, you know, again, was a bolt on. It wasn't a primary focus. Whereas now, everything you do in GA4 is going to be seen and usable in these different ad platforms, whether or not you have access to it. That's the other thing. So people that will be using these products, your marketing agency or your marketeers in the in-house, these people are going to see these audiences and they might end up using them. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's removing friction, which can only be a good thing. It's not only on the activation side, but actually on the implementation side as well. It seems to be getting more and more streamlined, that there's less of a requirement to do a lot of heavy tagging work. GA4 seems to have made life a lot easier in terms of implementation.
Yeah, I mean, easier is one way. Again, I think it depends on the type of company you are or who you are within that organization. So for most businesses in the world, this is going to be amazing. It means I don't have to have a dedicated resource or a person internally to manage or to be owning GTM, because GA4 out of the box has a higher level of standardization in terms of data collection. So you can do everything from collecting additional events. So these are the enhanced measurement events. We can track scroll depth, outbound clicks, engagement events. All of these are tracked by default. In Universal Analytics, we never had that luxury. We had to default to GTM or even some hard-coded stuff occasionally. Whereas now, because it's built in, it means it's all automated, you know, for the 95% of websites and apps that this works on anyway. It just means that it's all standardized. So the data collected into Google Analytics is hyper-standardized now. Mm. Within Universal, you throw in whatever you want. You call an event, category, action, label, whatever you want, it doesn't matter. Whereas now we've actually been given this little handbook, this list of recommended events and this list of names and recommended parameters to use. So now it's like, here's the box, stay within the box and everything will work and you're all good. Which, again, for a lot of people will be awesome. It's like telling you exactly what to do. And by the way, you don't have to do much of it because it's all automated. But I think those enterprise level companies that have a need for a level of flexibility or customization might struggle with this. So in terms of the role that this will play in the future, it's a coin toss, really, of whether this is good or bad or positive or negative. I think it's going to be different for every individual. But if I had to make a call right now, I'd say it's an overall positive, because I think the accessibility to the majority of companies and organizations is going to be a lot higher than it used to be. So it's going to be more highly used and adopted by companies. It's just going to be those edge cases, those enterprise or super enterprise level organizations that may not feel this is a good fit and they might need some other solution which they can customize completely.
But would you say that's not a negative change from Universal to GA4, is it? That problem would have existed with Universal as well. So if anything, GA4 is easier on the implementation side for maybe the majority of businesses, and then for those edge cases, would I be right in saying that it's still more customizable than Universal was, but it just might not be right for every type of business?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, it does the same thing. So I think the actual customization you can do is pretty much the same. It's just that there's a reference to go to before you do any custom work now. So I think it all ties into the whole modeling side and the standardization of it all, really, because Google Analytics needs to know what these events are going to be called to know how to model them and what they mean and what to do with them. Whereas in Universal, it never attempted to model any of the data, really, especially not some of the events, the custom events that you might be logging for, clicks and scrolls and all that other stuff. So yeah, I think ultimately you can throw in what you want. There's a level of flexibility there. It's just, you know, color in within the lines. If you go outside the lines, it doesn't matter too much, but try and stay within the lines if you can.
I was never very good at coloring inside the lines.
Same. Do you remember those old boards that had like the felt outline? I don't know if you ever had those when you were younger.
Oh, what, to keep you in the tracks?
Yeah. You couldn't physically colour outside of the line. So those are the ones I gelled with quite nicely.
Like the buffers in the bowling alley.
Yeah, exactly. You put the buffers up, I get a strike, you put the buffers down, and well, it's a different game, isn't it?
So what about server-side GTM? Something that we've talked about. We keep promising to talk about it in more detail on an episode, and that will happen. Do you see server-side GTM having a bigger role within the overall picture as time goes on?
Yeah, I do. It has to. Whether it's GTM or any other server-side tag management platform, again, it always ends up being Google because it's Google. But there are 100 other options out there, of course. What I feel we might find with this is that people are roped into using GA4, whether they want to or not. And that is because although you can use any feeder from your website or app to the server-side GTM, everything's defaulted and recommended to be used by GA4. So the recommendation from server-side GTM is to have GA4 implemented on your website, the GTAG or via a client-side GTM, however you want to do that. That then feeds your server information, and then you can distribute that information out to your marketing platforms, the Facebook conversion API, and obviously Google Analytics and Universal Analytics. So in a sense, the vision or the future, if I can put these words in Google's mouth, is that on your website, you'll have one tag, which is GA4. And then in the server, in your server-side GTM container, you'll have all of your ad platforms and analytics tools out there. So if that's the case, then even if you don't want to use GA4, but you want to use server-side GTM because it's highly adopted, there's resources out there, there's loads of templates or any other number of reasons that you might think about, you're still going to have to use GA4. And that's the really interesting part here. In some way, I'll caveat that because we don't have time to go into the nuances of what that actually means, but in some way, you're going to have to still use GA4. So I very much see GA4 is the basket that all of the Google eggs are in. It's going to be the central place, the privacy, the secure hub for the walled garden of Google. It's going to be the way you use server-side GTM. It's going to be the way you feed conversions into your ad platforms. It's the way you track users on your website. It's one of many data sources you can put into a CDP. So it's all centralizing around GA4. And just to kind of pull it back to the conversation I had a couple of weeks ago with Tom on here, we did a bit of crystal balling there as well. And there could be a point where they even deprecate the need for things like Campaign Manager and Floodlights in general. Maybe not Campaign Managers at all, but Floodlights and other legacy Google tracking technologies. So things like Universal, and I'm sure they still have libraries for classic Google Analytics and Urchin knocking around. They're already deprecating the Firebase stuff that isn't GA4. There's no reason why we can't think that that might happen to Universal, classic Google Analytics, but also things like Floodlight as well. If they're putting all their eggs over into GA4 to say, this is the future, this is the modeled safe house for your Google walled garden data, and it's the tool you need to use server-side GTM, which is what we're recommending you to do. I just don't see a world in the future where Floodlights and other things like that fit in. And I suppose it's all down to Google whether they make the switch and turn them off or not, but time will tell.
One tag to rule them all.
Exactly, it is.
So a lot of what we've been talking about has been, you could kind of somewhat categorize as being within the data collection. And I know we've talked a bit about this split between aggregated data and modeled data as well. But what about actually reporting on the data, using the data? When GA4, I know I need to update my opinion a little bit, but when GA4 first came about, it was looking like the interface wasn't going to be the place to go, that it was almost going to be like a bit of a middleman. Things have come on a long way since then with the Explore workspaces and the kind of customizations that you can do. So what do you think is going to happen in terms of like reporting and visualization? Because we've still got Data Studio, obviously. And then on the kind of enterprise level, you've got Looker as well. But where do you see GA4 fitting in terms of actually people doing day-to-day analysis or reporting?
It's a really good question. And I don't know if I have a satisfactory or a concise answer right now, because it could branch off into many different places. We found out recently through one of the articles that Google posted that the Data Studio team and product is actually being absorbed into Looker. So what that looks like in the future, that might be a free tier of Looker. It might be dissolved entirely and the features rolled into Looker's enterprise level solution. And if that's the case, it leaves a big old black hole for reporting on things like your Google Analytics data. But on the other side, the GA4 team have created a new interface where you can customize all the report libraries on the left-hand side, and you can create explorations and share them. And there's always been this overlap between each of these tools, between what would I use the GA4 interface for and setting up these custom libraries and reports and overview dashboards or whatever. Why would I then do the same over in Data Studio, which you can through the Data API? And then why would I then go into Looker, which can replicate the Data Studio stuff and the interface stuff as well? Each one has their pros and cons, of course, and I'm not knocking that, but there's always an overlap. So I don't know. They might take one of them away completely. They might merge them all together. They might just keep them all going as individual products. We might find that they have experimented with a new interactable UI in GA4 and they stop enhancing it or stop improving it because it's not being used. Who knows? I don't know.
You mentioned earlier that all audiences and conversions within GA4 are automatically pushed to the Google Ad platform. So there's another question there, isn't there, around how, like, previously with Universal, GA was almost like an admin tool for managing those audiences. So you'd have your segments and then you'd create some of those segments into audiences and push them into Google Ads. But there's a bit of a question mark there over if that's all automatically pushed into the ad side, then maybe the reporting and analysis of the performance of those could sit elsewhere, or GA4 could become the centralized place for not only managing those audiences, but then actually looking at reporting on the performance of them as well.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, and who knows where it will end or whether it will. So the whole thing you said about there of like, why roll everything into GA4, but then still have Google Ads? And I suppose an existing question I have is like, why have Search Ads 360 and Google Ads? Why not merge the functionality and create one ad buying platform? The same with DV360, I suppose, at the same time. It's like, you've got the Google walled garden. Here's how you buy ads in the Google walled garden. And over here, you've got the data collection, attribution, reporting methodology. But you're quite right. Why not merge those and just have one platform? It does your tracking and your ad buying. So again, it's probably because they're huge platforms with a ton of functionality developed over 10, 15 years worth of inheriting and buying up previous companies. So they're at a point where maybe it's possible, but maybe they just wouldn't. It's just not financially viable for them to invest that time just to have a nice single UI, which will then have like 5,000 people working on it day to day. But I don't see why not. Again, going to that walled garden idea, you don't have 10 platforms within Facebook or Amazon to buy ads and do all that other stuff. It's all rolled into one.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you see the GA4 interface being used to the same degree as Universal and even before that classic GA was? So when it was a day-to-day tool for a marketer, do you see GA4, the interface, being the same going forward?
I think it will. I think more so it will. And that is because of the additional functionality that GA4 has over Universal Analytics that doesn't extend into things like BigQuery and SQL and modeling out there. So because they've got things like the Explore workspace, we can actually do some analysis or explorations, to use the proper term, within the data, which previously was a GA360 feature. So all the people that never had GA360 are going to come into this tool, and it's going to be able to do, from their perspective, way more. It's going to be able to do some cool predictive modeling, predictive churn and conversion, lifetime value stuff over time. And it's going to be able to do these explorations and these cool visualizations. That is, you know, to the layman, that's awesome. That's a step up from Universal. It's a bit of a learning curve they might have to get past first, but it is a step up. I think there's going to be more people in there, including marketers. I think, again, this is going to be more of a marketing tool than ever before. So I think it's going to be used way more. However, I think for people like us or analysts, you know, pure analysts, data people, I don't think so. I think this is where they're going to be using this externally. I think the skills will still be there and you'll dip in and out, but it's not going to be the go-to, I'm going to sit in this tool, do some segments, pull some analysis, feed this dashboard over here. I think that, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, is going to be externalized. And that's going to be pulled into BigQuery based on partial data in your CDP or CRM. And then you'll have aggregate data to look at over here from 10 other different platforms. I think it's going to be a bit more disjointed than maybe what we have in place right now with Universal. I don't know if that answered in a satisfactory way, but that's what I've got.
I think you hedged your bets maybe a little bit, but that's reasonable. And you mentioned earlier you're going to be doing a talk around this topic. So I reckon we draw a line under this now before you give away too many of your opinions about where exactly GA is going to fit. So to give you a shameless plug so you don't have to do it yourself, that talk you're going to do is at MeasureFest, which is part of the Brighton SEO conference. It's going to be in real life in Brighton in April. I think it's the 6th to the 8th is the Brighton SEO conference, and MeasureFest is on the 6th, and there's still tickets available. So if any of our listeners out there would like to see Dan in the flesh giving a talk about the future of GA, then get yourself a ticket to MeasureFest.
I was going to say, there's nothing like a deadline to make me focus on cleaning up my thoughts around something, right? So this is a bit of a brainstorm, actually, and I think it's actually really helped align some thoughts around where this will be. So yeah, so hopefully, if you listen to this and see the talk, you'll see the nice polished version in April.
Okay, so what have you been doing outside of work to wind down in the last week, Dan?
Well, for me, it's been TV predominantly, and it's a rewatch of one of my favorite TV shows called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And the new series, Series 15, is about to drop on Netflix on the 1st of Feb here in the UK. So me and my wife, we're rewatching all 14 series in preparation. I can't get enough of it. Such a fun show. It's terrible and they're all horrible human beings, but that's what makes it hilarious.
I know I'm always out of touch on things, especially when you mention games, but I feel like I'm a bit less out of touch on TV. But I saw your acronym and I was thinking, I have no idea what ISIP is until you said It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You have to be in the know. All the cool kids know what that means.
Yeah, I just thought it's just yet another reference I don't get. Well, mine has also been, I guess, partly because I mentioned last week I'm back from holiday. So the cold weather has been a shock to the system. So I've also been spending a lot of time indoors watching Netflix. So we just finished the first part of the fourth season of Ozark, which came out on Friday, and we've done the whole thing already. So a lot of Netflix over the weekend. But Ozark, yeah, really, really good. Yeah, I think the second part of season four, unless I'm wrong, it's the end of it. I don't think there's going to be any more after that. So it's starting, things are starting to tie up. So yeah, really enjoyed watching those 7 episodes over the last 3 or 4 days.
Wow. Yeah, I did series one and for some reason dropped off, and not because I thought it was bad or didn't like it. It's just something that I lost touch with, and all of a sudden they're on series four.
Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? There's just too many TV shows, really.
Exactly, exactly.
So we've both been, yeah, we need to have an outdoor update for next week, I think.
It has to be non-Netflix based or video game based.
Yeah. Okay, that's a wrap for this week. As always, you can find out more about us at measurelab.co.uk. Email us at podcast@measurelab.co.uk or look us up on LinkedIn if you want to suggest a topic, or better still, if you want to come on the show and discuss it with us. Otherwise, join us next time for more analytics chit-chat. I've been Dara, joined by Dan. So it's a bye from me.
And bye from me.
See you next time.
Cut that bit.
Yeah.